Hello, welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays in the afternoon at 1 from WEHC at Emory and Henry College. It's my chance to play for you songs each week that I think are extra special and occasionally put in some odd things, a recording, a voice thing, maybe a joke, and I call those things Wombats. And that's where I get my title from, Wombats and Music. And I have two definite wombats and a third that's pretty close. So it's a wombat day today. And the first song is going to be John Denver. This is just a lot of times I play love songs, and most of them are another somebody done somebody wrong song. But every now and then I get to play one where people are falling in love, and this is one of those. John Denver is singing the lead, and he's a trucker on the roads, the way I get it. And he stops at a little place for supper, and listen closely and see what happens.
Been out on this highway now 5 days in a row. The words all run together and the feet are moving slow. Gotta stop and eat while it's still light. There's a local angel sitting on my right. Do you believe in love at first sight? Baby, you look good to me tonight. Well, I'm ordinarily very shy, and I'd be polite if I had the time. Baby, you look good to me tonight. Tomorrow I'll be good and gone. Please don't make me wait that long. Baby, you look good to me tonight. Get off at 11, she said, and walked away. She poured a cup of coffee and she brought it on a tray. She said it would be nice if you could stay. You're the best idea I've had all day. Usually I put up a fight. Baby, you look good to me tonight. Well, I'm ordinarily very shy, but I grinned at her as I ate my pie. I said, baby, you look good to me tonight. Thought I must be in a dream when she asked me if I wanted cream. Baby, you look good to me tonight. All in all, you know it's not a bad life on the road. You got wheels to roll and lucky stars above. Your destiny's your own, you go as far as you can go. If there's time for sleep, it's time to make love. Came, I saw, I conquered, and I rode off in the sun. You know the look she left me with keeps telling me she won. Her face is the only thing I see, whispering those words of prophecy. Well, it may come easy, but I won't come free. You're never gonna see the last of me. Baby, you look good to me. I was born to love, now can't you see? Baby, you look good to me tonight. Well, I'm ordinarily very shy, but I take the time to satisfy. Baby, you look good to me tonight. Baby, you look good to me tonight. Oh, baby, you look good to me tonight.
That was John Denver with Baby, You Look Good to Me Tonight. The next song is sort of in the same mood in a way. It's called Watching the River Run by Loggins and Messina. And I just love the harmony in this. Watching the River Run.
All that you've got, then don't feel alone anymore. 'Cause when we're together, then you've got a lot. 'Cause I am the river, and you are the shore. And it goes on and on, oh, watching the river run further winding and swirling and dancing along. Pass by the old willow tree, where lovers caress as we sing the bar song.
Watching the River Run by Lawrence de Messina. The next song is sung by Mel Tillis. Mel Tillis is a country star, and one of the things about him was when he was talking, he had a pretty bad stutter. But when he sang, it went away completely. And this particular song, it's called I Got the Hoss, and just a song about going riding on horses with a girlfriend. But it has calling it a double entendre is a tremendous understatement. This is an interesting song. I'll just leave it at that. I Got the Hoss by Mel Tillis.
Hey, baby. Let me see a brand new saddle. Put that pretty thing upon my horse. Let's get it on real tight now, girl. We don't want you falling off. I got the horse and she got the saddle. We like to ride side by side. Oh, I got the horse and she got the saddle. Together we gonna ride, ride, ride. Stop for a little while. I got to give my old horse a rest. You know they ain't no use in us trying to wear out your brand new saddle. Hear the crickets singing songs. Never heard a sweeter sound. Oh, you know crickets, do they sing? Together we gonna ride, ride, ride.
Was I Got the Hoss by Mel Tillis. The next song is Heart of the Heartland by Peter Ostrushko. I wanted to make sure that I correctly identified the instrument he was playing as a mandolin, so I Googled him, and Wikipedia gave me some information on Peter Ostrushko. His last name is Ostroushko. He's of Ukrainian descent. And if you want to read an impressive resume, read Peter Ostrushko, a musician's musician, if ever there was one. So this is one of the sweetest songs I've ever played. It was brought to me by my best friend Andy Stokes, and I've played it on the show ever since he brought it to me. Here we are with Heart of the Heartland, played on mandolin by Peter Ostrushko. Heart of the Heartland, played by Peter Ostrushko. The next thing on the show today is a true wombat. I'm going to read you a poem that I like a lot, and this poem tells a story. So I'll tell you about it before we start, and then I'll read you the poem.
This is the man from Snowy River. I discovered this poem, I thought, in Australia while looking through some books. After I discovered it, I found out it's kind of the national poem of Australia. Everyone in Australia knows of it. And there have been two movies, The Man from Snowy River and the sequel. Both, I thought, great movies. Anyway, this is a story, and I'm going to read you a little outline of what goes on. Then I'm going to read you the story. It takes about 5 minutes. It's a poem by Banjo Patterson, published in 1890. And yeah, I'm going to do it with a slight Australian accent. I apologize for that, but I love it. So anyway, here's what the story's about. The poem tells the story of a horseback pursuit to recapture the colt of a prize-winning racehorse that escaped from its paddock and is living wild with the Brumbies. That's the feral horses, wild horses. The Brumbies of the mountain ranges. Eventually, the Brumbies descend a seemingly impassably steep slope, at which point the assembled riders give up the pursuit, except for the young hero, the man from Snowy River, who spurs his pony down the terrible descent to catch the mob. That's what they call the horses, the mob. So, I'm now going to read you The Man from Snowy River. There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away, and had joined the wild bush horses. He was worth £1,000, so all the cracks had gathered to the fray. All the tried and noted riders from stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight, for the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horses snuffs the battle with delight. There was Harrison, who made his pile when Pardon won the cup, the old man with his hair as white as snow. But few could ride beside him when his bud was fairly up. He would go wherever horse and man could go. And Clancy of the Overflow came down to lend a hand. No better horseman ever held the reins, for never horse could throw him while the saddle girths would stand. He learnt to ride while droving on the plains. And one there was, a stripling on a small and weedy beast. He was something like a racehorse, undersized, with a touch of Timor pony, three parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread. And he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eyes, and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. But still, so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay. And the old man said, "That horse will never do for a long and tiring gallop, lad. You'd better stop away. Those hills are far too rough for such as you." So he waited, sad and wistful. Only Clancy stood his friend. "I think we ought to let him come," he said. "I warrant he'll be with us when he's wanted at the inn, for both his horse and he are mountain bred. He hails from Snowy River up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a horse's hoof strikes firelight from the flintstones every stride. The man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountain make their home, where the river runs through those giant hills between. I've seen full many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but nowhere yet such horsemen have I seen." So he went. They found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away toward the mountain's brow, and the old man gave his orders. "Boys, go at them from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel them, try to wheel them to the right. Ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills, for never yet was rider that could keep the mob in sight if once they gained the shelter of those hills." So Clancy rode to wheel them. He was racing on the wing, where the best and boldest riders take their place. And he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the rages ring with the stock whip as he met them face to face. Then they halted for a moment while he swung the dreaded lash. But they saw their well-loved mountain full in view, and they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew. Then fast the horsemen followed where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of the tread, and the stock whips woke the echoes, and they fiercely answered back from cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. And upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way, where mountain ash and courageon grew wide, and the old man muttered fiercely, "We may bid the mob good day. No man can hold them down the other side." When they reached the mountain's summit, even Clancy took a pull. It well might make the boldest hold their breath. The wild hop scrub grew thickly, and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes, and any slip was death. And the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head, and he swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer, and he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed, while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet. He cleared the fallen timber in his stride, and the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride. Through the stringy box and saplings on the rough and broken ground, down the hillside at a racing pace he went, and he never drew his bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of that terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the further hill, and the watchers on the mountain, standing mute, saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right among them still, as he raced across the clearing in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment where the two mountain gullies met, in the ranges, but a final glimpse reveals, on a dim and distant hillside, the wild horses racing yet, with the man from Snowy River at their heels. And he ran them single-handed till their sides were white with foam. He followed like a bloodhound on their track, till they halted, cowed and beaten. Then he turned their heads for home, and unalone and unassisted brought them back. But his hardy mountain pony, he could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur, but his pluck was still undaunted and his courage fiery hot, for never yet was mountain horse a cur. And down by Kosciuszko, where the pine-clad ridges raise their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky, and where around the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway, to the breezes and the rolling plains are wide, the man from Snowy River is a household word today, and the stockmen tell the story of his ride. That was The Man from Snowy River by Banjo Patterson, written in 1890. I was so taken with that poem when I came back from Australia that I memorized the entire thing. It took me about 6 months, something on that order. I mean, I would work on it every morning when I woke up and every night when I went to bed, and eventually I could recite the entire poem. But it turns out, I discovered, not many people want to listen to a 5-minute poem recited from memory, so I only ever really did it once. This time, I read it.
That was The Man from Snowy River, read by Harry Baya, and written by Banjo Patterson. You may have heard of Banjo Patterson before. He was the man who wrote the song Waltzing Matilda, sort of a Australian icon, I guess. The next song is Eva Cassidy singing Oh, Had I a Golden Thread. Eva Cassidy has one of the most beautiful voices I've heard in my life.
So
Eva Cassidy with Oh, Had I a Golden Thread. The next song is The Long Black Veil. And I'd always assumed it was a traditional folk music going way back, but I just looked it up. It was written in 1959, originally recorded by Lefty Frizzell, and since then recorded by almost every major artist. I couldn't believe all the names I recognized. Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, on and on. And this particular recording is by Sammy Smith. I don't know Sammy Smith, but I like this recording of the song. And oddly enough, it's got people talking in the background, kind of a almost like another song going on at times. which I never noticed before, but I heard it this time. This is The Long Black Veil, sung by Sammy Smith.
Someone was killed 'neath the town hall light. There were a few at the scene, but they all agreed that the slayer who ran was standing there with me. The judge said, "Son, what is your alibi? If you were somewhere else, you won't have to die." He spoke not a word, though it meant his life, 'cause he'd been in my arms.
Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
And now I walk these hills in a long black veil. I visit his grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody knows but me. The scaffold was high, eternity near. I stood in the crowd and I shed not one tear. But some
That was Long Black Veil, sung by Sammy Smith. The next song is almost a wombat. It is, I guess, in some ways. It's called I'm a Mainframe Baby by Bob Franke. Well, I'm a computer guy. I've spent my entire career working with computers, so this one speaks to me a lot. So I'm a mainframe. I'll read you the first verse. You've been running your program on your little PC, trying to fix your business with 123. That little junior just can't manage your files. Well, I got some hardware that will make you smile. Well, the idea is that a mainframe is a big computer. And when this was written, Lotus 123 was out. That's like 25 years ago. And here's this big computer. I'm a mainframe, baby. So it's got all sorts of, whatever you call it, double entendres or something, power metaphors. What it's like when you're the big guy on the block, and you're talking down to all the little guys. So I'm a mainframe baby, and you're just a little local computer. So that's the idea. And I love the way this song catches that. I'm a mainframe baby, written and sung by Bob Franke.
Baby. You've been running your program on your little PC, trying to fix your business with your 1, 2, 3. That little junior just can't manage your file. I got some hardware that will make you smile, 'cause I'm a mainframe, baby. I got a hard disk too, and I can do 20 times what that mini floppy driver can do. That's powerful software that you've got to run, but you just can't run it on that son of a gun. That little junior's got no memory. Come on, baby, get online with me, 'cause I'm a mainframe, baby. I got a hard disk too, and I can do 20 times what that mini floppy driver can do. Let's hear some recursions, boys. Lights in green, you got more data than I've ever seen. That little board can't even dump your screen. Oh, baby, check out the soul of a new machine, 'cause I'm a mainframe, baby. I got a hard disk too, and I can do 20 times what that mini floppy driver could do. M-A-I-N-F-R-A-M-E. Let's spell mainframe, not a loose. I got my modem working. Get online with you.
That was I'm a Mainframe by Bob Franke. You are listening to Wombats and Music, coming to you from WEHC at Emory and Henry College. And I'm your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturday afternoons at 1. And it's my chance to play for you songs I think are special and occasionally put in something odd or different, which I call a wombat. Earlier we had a reading of a poem, A Man from Snowy River. That was a wombat. And the next thing up is a wombat. In the 40s, there was a band called Fred Waring Chorale. They were on the radio a lot, probably on early TV. And they put out an album called God's Trombones. And God's Trombones had all sorts of things on it. One of them was the following, Go Down Death by the Fred Waring Chorale. That's kind of a poem with music. So here we go, Go Down Death by the Fred Waring Chorale.
Death come to my house, it didn't stay long. I look on the bed and my mother was gone. When will I see my mother again? Hallelujah.
She is not dead. She's resting in the bosom of Jesus. Heartbroken husband, weep no more. Grief-stricken son, weep no more. Left lonesome daughter, weep no more. She's only just gone home. Day before yesterday morning, God was looking down from his great high heaven. Looking down on all his children, and his eye fell on Sister Caroline tossing on her bed of pain. And God's big heart was touched with pity, with everlasting pity. And God sat back on his throne and commanded that tall, bright angel standing at his right hand, "Call me death." And that tall, bright angel cried in a voice that broke like a clap of thunder, "Call death. Call death." And the echo sounded down the streets of heaven until it reached away back in that shadowy place where death waits with his pale white horses. And death heard the summons. And he leaped on his fastest horse, as pale as a sheet in the moonlight. Up the golden streets death galloped, and the hooves of his horse struck fire from the gold, but they didn't make a sound. Up death rode to that great white throne and waited for God's command. And God said, "Go down, death. Go down to Savannah, Georgia. Down in Yamacraw and find Sister Caroline. She's borne the burden and the heat of the day. She's labored long in my vineyard, and she's tired. She's weary. Go down, death, and bring her to me." And death didn't say a word, but he loosed the reins on his pale white horse, and he clamped the spurs to his bloodless side, and out and down he rode through heaven's pearly gates, passing suns, moons, stars. Death rode, and the foam from his horse was like a comet in the sky. On death rode, leaving the lightning splash behind. Straight on down he came. While we were watching about her bed, she turned her eyes and looked away. She saw what we couldn't see. She saw old death. Old death coming like a falling star. But death didn't frighten Sister Caroline. He looked to her like a welcome friend, and she whispered to us, "I'm going home." And she smiled and closed her eyes. And death took her like a little baby and held her in his icy arms, but she felt no chill. Then death began to ride again, out beyond the evening star, up beyond the morning star, out into that glittering light of glory and on to that great white throne. And there he laid Sister Caroline on the loving breast of Jesus. And Jesus took his own hand and wiped away her tears and smoothed the furrows from her face. And the angels sang a little song. And Jesus rocked her in his arms and kept saying, "Take your rest, take your rest, take your rest. Weep not, she is not dead. She's resting in the bosom of Jesus."
Hallelujah, hallelujah, my Lord.
I'm one to sing my mother again.
You just heard "Go Down, Death" by the Fred Waring Chorale. Today's second Wombat. Next up is something a little different. It consists of music made by two harps and two drums. And I was kind of entranced by it. It's so different from anything I've ever heard. So this is called "Paint It Black" by the Harp Twins and the Wolfgang Twins. The Harp Twins are playing the harp, The Wolfgang Twins are playing two big drums. That was Paint It Black by Two Harps and Two Drums, the Harp Twins and Wolfgang Twins. The next song is I'm Working on a Building by Tim Menzies.
I'm working on a building, working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building, a Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I was a gambler, I tell you what I'd do. I would quit my gambling, start working on a building too. Working on a building, working on a building. Working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building, a Holy Ghost building, working on a building for my Lord Jesus
Lord. Tell you what I'd do, I'd keep right on preaching about working on a building too. I'm working on a building, working on a building, working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building, a Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord.
You just heard I'm Working on a Building by Tim Menzies. And the last song on the show today is Down on Penny's Farm, Natalie Merchant, and some good banjo and fiddle here.
Song, play it till you arrive, but you may think it wrong. They make you mad, but it means no harm. Just about the runners.
You just heard Down on Penny's Farm by Natalie Merchant. You're listening to Wombats and Music, and I'm your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturday afternoons at 1 from WEHC at Emory and Henry College. And it's my chance to play for you songs I think will be appreciated by at least some of you, and occasionally put in something odd. Tonight we had two of those odd things, and I call them wombats. I want to share with you a perspective that I found interesting. Sometimes we wonder if there is anyone out there listening to us in outer space. Can they hear us? Might their consciousness be tuned so they can hear us? It's possible. I mean, after all, they could have evolved far beyond where we are, and perhaps could sense all sorts of vibrations. And each word I say creates a vibration, and it goes off into space forever. You just need a very sensitive instrument to be able to find it. Well, the same may be true of our thoughts. So perhaps there are beings out there listening to us. And if so, I want them to appreciate that we have a lot of joy here on our planet. So when I'm feeling joy, I project it out, saying, hey, guys out there, this is the way it is down here, which is always kind of fun. And at the moment, we're about to come to the end of this particular time of joy and fun, the music and all that sort of thing. And we end the show with my standard ending. Please join me. Please join me in celebrating most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.